Potter, what are you doing listening to Rogue Intel? That podcast is for Slytherin.
Hey, this is your producer, Duff. What you're about to listen to is filled with witty rants and dry humor. While our show can be very entertaining, we feel we must caution the close-minded among us. There's foul, dirty fits of geeked-out rage and all-around bad attitudes ahead. Can't say we didn't warn you. So, keep your hands away from your private parts and your ears engaged at all times. This is Prime. Hello and welcome to the Prime Podcast on Rogue Intel. We are your morning show any time of day. That's right, midnight, noon, doesn't matter. We are here for you. You can subscribe to us, stream us live at rogueintel.com/live, or you can even call us at 410-989-1734. I'm your producer, Duff. With me, as always, are Carrie and TJ.
Hola.
How you doing, Care?
I'm in a foul fucking mood, so beware.
Well, we'll have to talk about that in a little bit. Today's guest is CEO and founder of Black Rifle Coffee Company, Evan Hafer. What's up, man?
What's up, guys?
Dude, you've got a lot of talking that you need to do for this show, because we are fans.
Mm-hmm.
We are definite fans. As you can see in the background, I've got my Just Black.
That's right.
It's okay, because I've got a black coffee bag.
That's right.
And TJ over here, he's got a whole box set of your greatest hits.
Well, yeah, and the logo is somewhere over there. For not that that helps anybody on the audio.
I've got a new one for you too, so I'm getting ready to do something really cool. I'll send you guys out some new swag.
Oh, nice! Hell yeah, dude! We'll pimp it out. So, while you're talking about swag and we're talking about coffee, for everyone who doesn't know what coffee is, which I'm not even going to finish that statement, for everyone who doesn't know Black Rifle, tell us a little bit about your company.
So, Black Rifle was founded in 2014, so just like a short time ago, and I started it in my garage, actually. I've been roasting coffee for the last decade. Between deployments, I would come home, I would roast coffee in like a one-pound little Sonofesco roaster, and I was basically roasting coffee so I could take it overseas with me, and I could have fresh roasted coffee, and it was my coffee, basically. And I'd come home and I'd roast it for my buddies. And, well, that kind of spurred Black Rifle Coffee Company after Jared Kaler, Art 15, and myself, we had started something called Freedom Roast. And we did it for Art 15 one year, and they fucking loved it. And I was like, hey, man, I'm going to just move in this direction of founding a real legit coffee company and just get this thing out of my garage. So we got a roaster, a fairly substantial roaster, and I started burning coffee. And you know, it's my two things, which is, you know, my three passions, basically. It's coffee. So I mean, I love coffee. It's firearms, which I love shooting, and I love playing grab ass or fucking around with my buddies. So. Like, the marketing is just, this is Black Rifle, man, which is, you know, for those of us that love coffee, we love to throw these dirty black rifles around and smash steel and, you know, and have a good time with our buddies, man. This is what Black Rifle is all about. And so it took me about 10 years to develop, like, the profiles of coffee. So a lot of guys are like, well, you guys aren't really coffee heads. And I'm like, I'm a fairly substantial coffee head, man. I would deploy overseas. I would come home. I had a full, like, commercial-grade espresso machine with a legitimate roaster, and I was adjusting roast profiles and importing beans and fluctuating temperature and pressure. Man, you guys don't even know how far down the geek rabbit hole I've gone on coffee. And for me, Just Black was the perfect drip coffee. It was the exact coffee that I wanted to replicate when I drink drip coffee. That's what I want in the morning or in the afternoon. When I drink espresso, AK-47 was the espresso I wanted to drink. And when I drink something else, like I've got a light, so like Gunship and Sniper's Hide, those are light coffees. Mm-hmm. I just develop everything around the fact that this is what I like. And when I go into some of the new age coffee shops, they serve some weird, like it's almost a sour taste to some of their coffee. I'm like, I'm not really into it. I love dudes that geek out on coffee. I fucking hate this new wave coffee that dudes are roasting. So that's kind of Black Rifle Coffee in a nutshell, man.
Cool. Well, it sounds great. We love your coffee here at the Prime Podcast. I know TJ and I both have been drinking the shit out of it. And we'll talk more about the man behind the company a little bit later. You want to get into some topics that we like to talk about on the show?
I will. What do you guys want to get into?
Well, this is something that might be up your alley, and hopefully it doesn't hit too close to home, but I want to talk about little man syndrome.
Yeah, please.
Carrie, I know you and I have had conversations, many, many, many conversations about little man syndrome in the past, but I don't know that we've shared much of those conversations with our Prime audience. What is little man syndrome?
Well, in my opinion, little man syndrome is any man who feels inadequate in some way, whether it's height, build, brain,
penis.
And they overcompensate in another regard, or they lash out, or they try and be some big macho piece of shit. And it's all because of their own inadequacies. Kind of like a girl who is not comfortable with how she looks, so she'll slut herself up just so she can get the attention.
Oh, I know people like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean.
So you seem to have a history with little man syndrome. Evan, why don't you tell us, do you think it's real? Do you think it's just...
Yeah, man, yeah. I mean, like, so I'm 5'7", right? I'm 5'7", I'm 160 pounds. Like, a lot of dudes are like, hey, I'm a small dude, so I've got little man syndrome. Well, you know, there is a theory, you know, behind that, which is basically when you grow up small, you've got two choices, right? You can either be picked on or you can start punching people in the face, right? So, like, I was the latter, meaning, like, I wasn't going to be fucking picked on, and I wasn't going to be run over by a dump truck by, you know, older, bigger kids. So, for me, I had to get super aggressive very early. And that just became part of my personality and my DNA, like very, very early in my childhood, right? When you're a small kid, you can either be picked on or you can start picking back.
Yeah.
And so I definitely see it, man. Like, guys are like, hey, you're super aggressive. I am. Like, I'm not even gonna apologize for it, dude. I am fucking very I am very competitive person. I'm one of the nicest guys you'll meet, obviously, like, you know, I'm biased because I'm me, but I love to see people succeed, dude. I want to see guys out on the range or in business or whatever they're doing. I want to see those guys just crushing it, because I know how happy it makes me when I smash out a piece of steel at like 350 yards, you know, on 0.25 off a split time, you know, on a pro timer or something like that, where I'm like, that is fucking awesome.
I saw that YouTube video, by the way.
I just love, like, when people are doing things that make them feel epic, whether that's luge or, you know, basket weaving or fucking wood carving, I don't care anymore. Like, my drive comes from something different. But I've definitely seen it where the compensation issue is when you're driven to do something that is purely based out of ego, not desire or passion. And that's when it starts to get convoluted and a little bit it's not coming, like, your drive isn't coming from a pure place. And I guess, so that's my theory on it. That's my two cents.
Well, I definitely, I appreciate your insight to little man syndrome. And don't get me wrong, I didn't add this topic in here simply because we knew you were coming on the show, because I had no idea you were only 5'7".
Yeah.
I feel kind of bad, actually, for bringing it up. Let me try and explain something, though. You know, I'm a 5'11 guy, and I am a dick, apparently. But no, let me explain something. There's a difference between what I'm talking about and, yeah, well, potentially a difference between what I'm talking about and what you're talking about. Now, you are 5'7", you grew up, you had to be that kind of guy. But let's set the record straight. You are in the armed forces. Am I wrong?
I just got out in December, so I got out like 20 years.
How many tours?
Well, so a little bit about me that people don't know. I spent several years in the infantry, and then I went over to Special Forces, and I spent 9 years in the CIA. So most people don't know that about me.
So he could have you killed, Duff. So just so.
So most people don't know that about me, and I'm not super open with that. Like, if people ask me, like, I'm 2 years out of the agency, so I tell people fairly openly now, like, hey, man, I was in the agency for 9 years as a contractor. And, you know, I went to work overseas. I did a lot of different things for the agency. And so I'm more for a lack of a better term, like, I'm more of an agency guy than I am a mill guy.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my professional DNA is rooted in special operations and the agency. So, like, I went to war in blue jeans when everybody else was in, like, you know, camouflage. So, like, you know, I was next to dudes that were like 30 years in the mill and special operations. They had retired, went to work for the agency, and these dudes were wearing fucking cowboy boots in Iraq. Like, get it on. So for me, my experience was totally different than a lot of people. Like, I grew up, and I was the youngest guy on a lot of these gigs that I was doing, and I was one of the youngest guys in Special Forces when I joined Special Forces. So my DNA has been, like, not really in, like, a conventional military type atmosphere. It's more, I was a Green Beret, and then, like, in 2004, I went to work for the agency. So, for me, like, I'm like, hey, man, I know that everybody's like, hey, you were in the mill, but yeah, sure, I was, but brother, like, I'm way more of an agency guy than I am.
Okay, so just to summarize, you've served your country, and I don't specifically mean or exclusively mean the military. You've served your country.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're thank you for your service. And I'm sure you probably are sick of hearing that, but hey, it's my duty as an American citizen who has the right of free speech to thank you for your service. So, there's a difference between, and again, I'm saying potentially because I've never seen you drive, but, there is a difference between you being a little man or whatever you want to call yourself and the traditional little man idiot syndrome. For example, people that ride your tail when you're driving just to be a dickhead. Like the other day I was driving to work, and I was on a back road, and there was a car in front of me, and we were doing 50 in a 40 zone. Right. And I had enough distance between the car in front of me and the guy behind me. And it was driving a Toyota Tacoma. Not that it matters, probably, but he was behind me, and he kept on getting close and then far and then close and then far. And as soon as the double yellow or the dotted yellow line came across, he tried to pass. Now, he was trying not to just pass me, but the car in front of me. And so I did my due diligence as a snot-nosed kid grown up. I got right behind the guy in front of me. So if he was going to pass, he was going to have to pass both of us fuckers.
Right.
And the first time, he couldn't do it because the dotted line went away and he had a little bit of smarts in his head, and so he backed off. And I'm sitting there, it's like, we're going 10 over the speed limit. We're on a windy back road. Are you really stupid enough to pass? Well, just right. as the thought got to the tip of my head, he starts passing me again. Well, 12 miles down the road, he's right behind me. And it's not like I was being a dick. I'm driving like a human with a head that has right. a brain. And still, 12 miles down the road, we're on a small town road. It's a two lane instead of a one lane. But the thing is, all that weaving and back and forth and passing and being a total douchebag. And then, you know, 12 miles later, he's right behind me again. So my question to everyone here on the show, and I'm particularly interested in what Carrie has to say, because I know she's got firsthand experience with the little man syndrome in the traditional sense. What goes through the mind, or what must go through the mind of someone like that, that does stupid shit like that?
Well, personally, I guess I have little man disease because I drive like an asshat.
Yeah, but you know how to drive. I've been in a car with you. I've been pacing with you in another car. So you can drive. You've got my vouch.
Yeah, I can outdrive your ass. But
I don't know about that.
Garen goddamn teed. But
here we go.
As far as it being a little man thing, I don't see it being that. I see it being someone who is just an asshole. There again, I've driven behind you and have wanted to ram you sometimes because of the way you drive.
I'm in a minivan.
It doesn't matter what vehicle you're in.
You saw what they did to the minivans on the Black Rifle YouTube channel, right?
Come on now. Do we have to bring that up?
I got one too, so. But
I mean, to me, when you are referencing little man disease, it's more of a, like my ex-husband. He was the epitome of little man. You know, he was thought he was God's gift and not. He thought he was some badass. And when it was directed at a female, yeah. Okay, you're going to overpower the majority of your average women. You know, but then you run across me who, all right, you're going to hit me. Well, we're going to make this worthwhile. You know, you're not just going to hit me for no reason. I'm going to give you every reason in the fucking book. And right. we'd go back and forth. And, you know, it's like little dogs. They bark, they bite because they're so insecure of their size. Where the bigger the dog, as long as they haven't been abused or trained to be mean, they're the sweetest, most gentle animals you'd ever want to meet.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why I went from a 5'8 ex-husband to a 5'11 fiance.
Woohoo!
So I went from a little dog to a big one.
Woof!
So.
And that's why you have pit bulls, too. Which
yes, that is why dog. We have rescued pit bulls.
Yeah, sweetest dogs in the world if they're not trained to be assholes.
Right.
Well, the most asinine drivers are anyone that drives a BMW. They're entitled,
oh God, yeah.
They're entitled pieces of shit. And it doesn't matter male, female, race, religion. If they are in a BMW, they feel entitled and they're pompous pieces of shit.
Is it too much to ask that they use their goddamn turn signal?
No.
In a lot of cases, it seems to be.
Well, maybe they don't come with turn signals. You know, they're paying all that money. They probably don't have them.
Eh, it's an added option.
Probably. Yeah, that.
Yeah. Evan, what do you think about this conversation? Am I hitting too close to home, or am I safe?
No, man. No. I mean, I think.
You probably see it a lot in the army too. Like, you know,
it's like there's a difference between. There's a difference between being an asshole and like, and maybe, you know, maybe there is like compensating factors, but you know, like I've seen a lot of dudes that are like, okay, you're tall, you've got a great profession, you're halfway intelligent. Why are you an asshole? You know, I mean, I don't get it. But then again, like I think for me, and like, there's a lot of dudes like me, like I'm not leaving anything on the table. In life, you know? So it's like, I think people get super frustrated with themselves because they're like, you know, I really want to fucking be a, you know, a tranny or something, and they're like living in Mormon Utah, and they've got 10 kids and a, you know, a wife, and they're like, you know what, I'd really like just to be a dancer down in San Francisco, and that's what I want to do. So for a lot of people, they're like, you know what, I'm just unsatisfied with life, and I'm an asshole because I'm stuck into a rut of things that I'm really not into. Mm-hmm. And like compensating and being unhappy, those are two very similar things where it's like, hey, I'm compensating because I'm an idiot. Okay, yeah. Well, you're an idiot because it's self-induced, right? Or you're unhappy because of some like inadequacy or perceived inadequacy, and you can't do anything about it because you're too fucking lazy. Well, okay, well, that's an interesting factor too, because then it just compounds the frustration. Just like me, you know, if I would love to be like, I'd love to have a six pack. That'd be rad. But at the end of the day, I love bread and fucking Cheetos. And so it just frustrates me.
Don't we all?
Yeah. I love beer.
Yeah, beer.
You know? And so I'm like, I don't look down on those dudes that do have six packs. That's totally rad. Like, you guys got more dedication than I do. Like, that's
I went on a diet switching from beer to scotch one time. That didn't work so well.
Yeah. I tried going to whiskey and like doing low carb stuff or whatever, and I'm like, ultimately, I'm just kind of cranky, man. Like,
ultimately, I just get drunk more. You know, like,
I just get drunk faster, and then I'm just an unhappy drunk. You know?
To compensate for it. Yeah, let's talk about compensation. Yeah, that's
like, people that bow into like these society rules and regulations, like, are, and when I say that, it's like, okay, so when I look at society and like the creation of assholes and little man or whatever we want to talk about, like, I went to University of Idaho, so I went to college, and like, I saw these dudes, they were moving from like one thing that society told them they needed to do to the next. They weren't making decisions based on what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
They're making decisions on what they felt society wanted them to do. And they were fucking super unhappy, man. Whereas like, I left college, I was like, hey, I'm going to go be a Green Beret. And all my buddies were like, I'm going to go work at a bank. Like, that sounds like shit. Like, no offense if you guys work in a blank, but
no,
we don't. You're safe.
Okay. So for me, I'm like, I don't really look at anything as far as like what people are doing in their lives and try to go, that's what I, you know, like, I don't look at other people going, that's what I want to do. Most of the time I'm looking inward and going, oh yeah, that's what I want to do. That sounds cool.
See, it took me a while for me personally. I mean, to figure that out, you know, graduated college, did the whole corporate shit, because that's what you're taught to do, you know, like, yeah, exactly. you gotta graduate college, you gotta go working yeah, exactly. Being a fucking it actually took getting shit canned from corporate jobs and having a supportive wife. No, it's the combination of the two, who's like, yeah, go do a podcast and not make money on it, you know. You know, like, and just go have fun and be a stay-at-home dad, and I mean, that's a full-time job in itself, but I'm not making any money in it, at least not directly. So I mean, it's definitely, you're right though, it you start being more of an asshole when you're not happy with whatever you're doing with life, you know. So,
seriously.
Yeah. Or you don't have any outlets for it. I'm still an asshole, but I'm I'm a happy asshole.
I have a test for you, Evan.
Please.
If you see someone in front of you in the next lane over that's got their turn signal on, and you can see that their lane is about to end, do you let them over?
It depends. It kind of depends on what kind of a day I'm having.
Okay.
Certainly does, man. Sometimes you just need those little victories, bro. You're just like, fuck it. Like, you know what I hate? So, not to shift subjects, but so check this out, right? So, let's say you're in the right lane and it's a merge lane.
Yeah.
And then you're waiting for your fucking turn. Like, you're in the right lane. But then there's a left lane that disappears and everybody fucking knows it. The dude that speeds up on the left lane knowing that they're going to fucking merge and in. No,
I don't let them in.
Okay, neither do I.
I don't fucking let them in. Fuck them.
Social justice, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that is exactly what. So if somebody's like, obviously, they don't know, and they're kind of their ignorance has just kind of led them to this event. Absolutely. Blithful ignorance, you know, like, here you go. Here's your lane. If you're an asshole, I return the favor. I call that paying it forward.
Oh, yeah.
Karma. Yeah.
Karma, yeah.
Yeah, I'll straight up screw with people that are total dickwads on the road.
Yeah. Yep,
if you're cool, though, if you're following the rules and not being a jizz bucket, I'll let you over if you've got your turn signals on. But if you start cruising over into my lane without your turn signals, I'm going to do everything in my power to make it look like it was your fault.
Well, the good thing is we drive minivans, so we can drive like assholes.
And hell yeah.
Like, oh, fucking minivan mom. And it's like, nope, we're just assholes in the minivan.
This is minivan. Jeez, yeah, exactly. All right,
let me explain this. TJ and I are both 35 years old. We're both fathers, and we both drive Toyota Siennas, which are badass swagger wagons.
I definitely know that. Yeah, my business partner owns a Toyota Sienna. He just drove it this morning to work. And so he has two minivans. So this dude is a 30-year Green Beret. He's done everything on the planet. He's a former DEA special agent, 30-year Green Beret, military freefall scuba, you name it. His vehicle of choice, minivan. No questions asked.
It's the most comfortable. Have you ever driven, physically gotten behind the driver's seat of a Sienna?
It is the most utilitarian of vehicles.
Hell
it
yeah.
Kerry
makes fun of me all the time for me driving a minivan, but she just does not get it.
It's not just the fact that you drive a minivan. It's the fact that you have two 12s in the back. It's like you don't know what you want to be. Are you some little party boy or are you an adult? Make up your mind.
I like music and I like hearing it as if it was in the studio. What's wrong with that? Yes, I've got two 12s, a 1400 watt amp, and a 1.2 farad capacitor powering everything. That doesn't mean I'm a yo boy. That doesn't mean I'm a little, you know, well, I guess that doesn't mean I'm a little man.
Man that knows what he wants.
I know what I want, and I enjoy it. It's not like I'm blasting rap out the side windows with all the windows down driving through a community. I am.
But what
listening.
It looks like from the outside is some boy is driving his mother's minivan that was given to him and has all these little bumper stickers and band things, and you hear 212s thumping. That's what it looks
fuck
like.
Fuck me. I can't win. I really can't.
I told you this 14 years ago.
I can't win.
You cannot win with me.
Oh. I got two fucking car seats in mind, so so go judge me on that, you know.
That's awesome. I only got one. I only have one car seat. We don't have a minivan. We got a station wagon. So
hey, it's just as bad.
There you go. Yeah,
really.
Unless it's a Subaru.
No. We went and got a used Volvo because it's like the safest vehicle on the planet. Yeah. So.
Changes
at least it's not one of those horrible green with the wood paneling from like the 70s.
Hey, I think I had one of those growing up.
Yeah. It's a badass. I could get behind one of those. My wife would not go for a minivan. Like, I'm on the minivan track. And I'd be like, yeah, minivan? Fuck yeah. Utilitarian vehicle. My wife would be like, fuck you. We're not buying a minivan.
That was actually the exact discussion we had getting ours. It was the same thing. She's like, no, I'm not getting a minivan. I'm like, I'm home with the boys. Like, get a fucking minivan.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's an easy equation. Do you have kids? Do you have dogs? Do you have shit to haul? Yep. Do you want comfort? Get a minivan.
Get a minivan. Like, that's the way they were designed. That's what they're designed for.
I mean, it does suck when you're in the parking lot. You're like,
gravel that you need to haul, you're going to get a dump truck. You're not get...
You know what? I put the drywall for the studio in the minivan, so... You can put drywall in there too. Like I had giant drywall sheets. You just pop the seats out. It works great.
No, actually. See, with me, you just put the seats down.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Obviously, that's easier for you. But yeah, yeah. They you could do a lot of that fun stuff. And yeah, like you said, it sucks walking up to in the parking lot because you're like, fuck, I'm getting in a fucking minivan. But then when you're in it, you're like, fuck you guys. I'm in my treehouse. Leave me alone. Yeah. You know?
If you're a single dude. That's obviously not the correct.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like that, you're not going to do yourself any favors because people will be like, okay, even if you're a single father, they'll be like, come on, man, really? But if you're married, that means you're done. You're out of the game. you're out of the game, bro. Like yep. you got to commit to that. Like you got to commit to the station wagon or a van or something. But you can't just say, okay, I'm gonna get into my Raptor with my fucking three car seats in it. Yeah. You know, like that's just selfish shit.
It's funny you bring that up because I had one of my buddies, my roommate from college. Like I was the first to get the SUV, you know, and I got the little freaking Escape. Yeah, whatever, girl car.
You got a Ford?
No, back in the day, this is right out of school. I didn't know any better.
Okay.
So yeah,
I forgive you.
But yeah, so I had that, and then you know he had the cool Mustang, which like you know everybody's like, oh, he's got the cool badass Mustang. I'm like, yeah, but every time we took a trip anywhere, everybody's like, all right, throw all this shit into your car that we make fun of all the time, you know, and then you're the one that's driving them down to the shore house for the weekend or putting the keg in the trunk.
Yeah, because God forbid Mustang actually had cup holders.
Yeah, exactly. Like it doesn't have fucking cup holders, let alone room for a keg in the back or whatever you're putting in the back, you know.
They're almost as useless as BMWs.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah,
just about.
Hey, at least Mustangs come with turn signals. That's all I gotta say about that.
Or the drivers know to use them.
All right, well, that's all we gotta say about that. We're gonna take a quick promo break, and when we get back, we're gonna be talking with the man himself about his coffee company, Black Rifle. Stay tuned here on Prime. We'll be back.
Hi guys, it's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. You can listen to Round Trip at rogueintel.com.
Hi guys, Cooper here from the Unquote podcast. Unquote delves into what makes movie quotes so, well, quotable. See, I have a guest each week watch a movie selected from the American Film Institute's Top 100 Movie Quotes list, and then we sit down and ponder cultural impingement and cinematic preponderance, and okay, you got me, my thesaurus was totally open. A little factual and a lot of fun, it's the least contentious peanut gallery in history. Unquote is part of the Rogue Intel Network, and you can find me on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter.
Hey, it's your 2-minute warning. I'm Clint Daly, host of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. You know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we bring you kind of a sarcastic look at the world of sports. This week on the show, you're going to want to check it out. This week, we actually talk a little bit about boxing. Yes, I know. Who knew that we would actually discuss boxing? What a filthy sport that is. But you know, there was a big fight this past weekend that we want to touch on, and there's actually some rumors out there floating around that there's going to be an even bigger fight coming. We explain to you why you probably shouldn't believe the hype. Of course, we touch on the NBA playoffs. You know, the Oklahoma City Thunder are up 3-2 on the San Antonio Spurs. Talk a little bit about what's going on in San Antonio. The Cleveland Cavaliers swept the Atlanta Hawks, but I've got a couple of reasons why the Cleveland Cavaliers better be a little bit careful. Of course, the Toronto Raptors and the Miami Heat are locked up in a tight battle, and the Golden State Warriors seem like they have kind of found their mojo just a little bit. So we're looking a little bit at the NBA playoffs, a couple of coaching moves we want to talk about, a couple of moves that were maybe a little bit unexpected that we want to talk about. And, you know, as we do every single week, we get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Now, if you aren't familiar with the Daily Dose Top 5, if you haven't really listened to the show that much yet, we understand. We're a little bit late coming, and we're just getting on the Rogue Intel Network right now. But you might want to check it out, because every single week, we bring you something a little bit different with the Daily Dose Top 5. And this week, we give you 5 reasons why you should be listening to it every single week. That's right. Top 5 reasons you should be listening to the Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, it's the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. You want to make sure that you check it out each and every single week. The Daily Dose Sports Podcast, your daily dose of sports and sarcasm.
Hi, this is Uwe Boll. If you want to help support the podcast on this network, go to rogueintel.com. Thank you and go fuck yourself.
We are back on Prime with Evan Hafer. What's up, man? Tell us a little bit about your coffee company that we didn't hear when we started the show.
All right. So Black Rifle Coffee Company is a roast-to-order premium small-batch roasting company. So when I say that, what's that mean, man? Your order comes in, and literally we take those in the morning, we print them all out in the evening, and we roast all that coffee the next day. the following day or the day after, we ship out depending on when that order comes in. Wow. So literally, this is the freshest bag of coffee you're going to receive. Now, typically, on any coffee that you're going to get out of the grocery store, what you really get out of that is you get about 3 weeks worth of taste out of it. When I say that, is you've got a peak taste profile that hits at about day 3 to 5. And then it starts to kind of slide down a little bit. After about a week or two, you're pretty much flat on that taste, and it's consistently dead after about 3 weeks, right? So Black Rifle, what we do is, you know, what I do specifically is those orders come in. Literally, I'm roasting green bean that has been shipped out of Colombia like 2 weeks prior.
Oh, wow.
And then, so I'm getting green bean, I'm roasting it, and then I'm shipping it out to you. Literally, that bean has probably only been in the States before it's roasted and put in a pot, depending on when you get your coffee, less than a month. So, and really, I'm offering it at the best price in the United States right now. All the rest of these, like, hipster roast-to-order coffee companies, they're going to charge you $20 for a 12-ounce bag.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've done is I've squeezed the margins out of it where I can literally say, I'm going to give you the greatest amount of value and the best tasting cup of coffee you've probably ever had, and you're just going to keep coming back. So that's my theory. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying about the hipster coffee companies. There is a certain chain out there that I will not mention.
Oh, yeah.
Their espresso is pretty damn good. Their coffee is fucking mud.
Mm-hmm.
And they praise it like it's the next coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's pitiful. It's disgusting, and I hate it. And see, I used to be addicted to this stuff because I used to work for the company that that fixed all of their cash registers and their servers and their stuff like that. So they had a policy where if you've got a vendor coming in to fix your shit, you offer them free beverages. So they always took care of me. And from then on, it was like, yeah, I'll take a latte, a macchiato, this, that, the other thing. But when I tried their regular cup of Joe, it was disgusting.
Horrible. Ashtray.
Yeah, literally, it tasted like an ashtray. And that was when I smoked.
Yeah.
Right. Oh God. Yeah. And that's like.
Well, when you smoke, your taste buds are gone, so you don't know any better. That's why.
Well, I smoked and I still tasted the hint of ashtray, that's saying something. Now exactly. I gotta say, TJ, you sent this over to me because you got you got their greatest hits box set, you sent me Just Black, which is how would you describe Just Black, Evan?
So Just Black is. What I wanted out of a drip coffee every time I order a drip coffee. So when the person comes to you, and they're like, how do you want your coffee? I don't take it with creamer. I don't take anything. I always say Just Black.
Just Black.
That's what I want my coffee. And so when I look at Just Black, for me, Just Black is the perfect cup of coffee as far as drip. What do you want? I want Just Black, man.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. I want Just Black. So when I look at drip coffee in general, that's what I wanted to deliver, which is a small estate-grown Colombian bean, and I've roasted it. I haven't over-roasted it like a lot of different coffee companies will. I've roasted it probably, I think we're about halfway into or a little past what's called first crack. So the cracks start to emerge as you're roasting the green bean, it starts to emerge. And then you get like first crack, second crack, and then people can define those in like city roast or full city or French or whatever it is. It's actually more properly defined based on how many cracks you're presenting and the color of the bean itself. So Just Black, good medium Colombian roasted coffee that's just perfect for your drip. Perfect.
Well, I tried it this morning and it was absolutely delicious. I too drink my coffee Just Black. No sugar, no milk, no cream, no nothing. Just straight up coffee. And we typically get your your bagged, I don't want to say gourmet because it's not. We typically get your bagged coffee from the grocery store, and it's okay. It's nothing to write home about, but it's okay. But when I had two full cups of the Just Black this morning, and it's not bitter. It's not weak. No. It's not watered down, but it's not kick you in the ass. It is the epitome of drip coffee, which is how we drank it. We drank it with the drip maker.
So I tried, and I'll be the fanboy for a minute, but I tried like all of them that you sent me. So you guys sent the Sniper's Hide, which is your light roast.
Yeah.
AK-47, which is kind of like a medium. I know it's officially like an espresso, but it's
that's
like your what I would call like a medium roast, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the Just Black, which is my favorite. You're welcome, Duff.
thank you, dude.
And then the Murdered Out was in there too. So, which is like your complete other end of the spectrum.
I really want to try the Murdered Out. I love dark roast, dude.
I may be nice and send you some, but I wanted to try it first. That's why I kept it for myself.
Well, no, dude, you don't need to send me any more shit, man. You're already awesome enough.
Anyway, so all of them worked really well in my, you know, I don't have any of that fancy.
What do you got?
At home, just a Mr. Coffee Maker, you know, like the drip $40 Target special, because we had our Keurigs that I can't get mine to stay longer than a year, you know. So, yeah, I love the K-Cups, and I know you guys have an awesome K-Cup line, too, as well, too, which come in the cool, you know, ammunition-looking containers, too.
Yeah.
So that's an awesome marketing thing from you guys, too. But yeah, they all of them are awesome, too, and I'm usually from that brand that we will not name, lighter roast from them because there are
they're blonde tastes. Roast.
I have to do it because that they're dark stuff.
Disgusting
like
attempt
ashen.
At drip.
You have to with them. There's the other major chain brand that is not the one we're referring to, which actually has decent regular coffee.
Which one's that?
The Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
They have decent coffee.
Their coffee's not bad.
They do. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like I will. Like if I'm traveling, I'll drink Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
I will not like definitely since I've been like making so much fun of Starbucks, I haven't had
you're probably on a poster at every Starbucks.
I will be known as like the biggest fucking hypocrite if somebody's like walking to Starbucks. And I took my daughter in there a few months ago and to get her a pint of like hat and a whole milk and I was wearing a Black Rifle sweatshirt. You know, I'm like standing in line. I'm like, fuck, man. I hope nobody sees me in here.
It would have been, you know what? We should give somebody something if they catch you in a Starbucks with your Black Rifle and send the picture into us.
Yeah, send a picture to prime@rogueintel.com. We'll hook you up.
We'll figure out something. You know what? We'll send you a bag of Black Rifle coffee if you can get in a Starbucks.
Yeah, no shit. That would be fucking funny.
But yeah, they're all good. And you know what? Even the Murdered Out one was actually, and I'm a black coffee drinker too. Sometimes I'll do the frou-frou crap, but typically just straight black coffee for me. That coffee was good. It's even better if you throw it over ice.
Really?
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah, and it's smooth for black coffee. And this may bore people, but I'll ask you anyway, that I'm curious as to how do you do it without it tasting like ass? You know what I mean? Like, how do you get it that dark?
It's the bean.
It's really
good. That's the problem, that when you want a really dark roasted coffee, most companies are not going to invest in it in a premium bean. They're going to still go with, like, you know, it's whatever bean they're pulling from whatever farm. So I had to go out and find a good, and it's a Colombian bean, but I had to go find the correct green bean that I could put through the roaster at that length. I'm not a super dark coffee drinker. I don't like my coffee really dark, but I know a lot of people do. Like they like a really dark roasted coffee. Yeah. And I think a lot of that is because of, you know, Starbucks really pushed the envelope on how dark people wanted to drink their coffee. And that's fine. For me, like where I like my coffee is like right in the center. So for me, my two favorite coffees are AK-47 and Just Black. And those are my two coffees. I drink them every day. I drink AK-47 every fucking day. Every morning, I drink two shots of AK-47 out of my espresso machine in my basement.
Damn.
And then I go into work, and we're way into the cold brew right now. So we're like,
oh, okay.
So I'm going through, and I've literally, so in the last, I don't know, 4 months, I've bought every fucking cold brew device that I could find on like Amazon and Google. And I've been able to take me and my buddy, who we also work together, but we work together. He was a former Green Beret, huge coffee head. So we've been going through every one of these cold brew devices to do a real, like, legit, proper evaluation on them. And so I've been making, like, gallons and gallons of cold brew, dude. And what I've found is that I love cold brew. I fucking love cold brew coffee. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be like, you know, Evan, like the marketing guy for like 1 second, but I'm like, hey, you know, cold brew coffee in the summertime, you know, like, but no, man, like cold brew, it takes out like almost 70% of the acidity coffee. And it's a lot smoother. It keeps in your refrigerator for like 2 weeks. It's just fucking awesome, man. You throw that over some ice. We're making cold brew concentrates, and it's so fucking good. That's where awesome. All of us are just like, we've got. I wish I was in the warehouse right now. I'd open up the fridge and show you guys. We got 6 gallons of like fresh cold brew that we just pulled.
Well, you have my address, so because I ordered the coffee.
We're doing a whole series. We're doing a whole instructional series, like a no bullshit, like most of the content I make is like totally ridiculous, but. We're making all instructional content on how to make cold brew. I'm trying to make it funny, you know.
And you succeed.
you guys have some funny shit out there. It's.
Did you see the pottery, the last one? Or
I would say that was creepy if I didn't watch the other videos to know that you guys were just fucking around in it.
Super creepy, dude.
But it's got to be fun. And that's one of the reasons why, I'll be honest, like it was just a random Facebook ad that my wife was like, dude, you have to check these guys out. Their video, my wife of all people said it was like, these guys are fucking hilarious. So I started like, you know, doing a little legal stalking of you guys, looking up and I thought it was cool. Maybe I shouldn't say that to a former CIA guy, but looked at you guys. You had such a cool story there. And so I know you guys have this badass marketing campaign and there's a lot of cool, kind of bro feel to it where it's guys hanging out and just bullshitting with your boys, and that's great. We'd love that. Obviously here we're very relaxed on everything, but you do some cool serious stuff, which is part of the reason I wanted to have you on too, was that you have the Thin Blue Line brand where you were supporting the fallen and wounded officers. You have a lot of badass support for some cool companies like that. I saw on your Facebook you had the Operation Underground Railroad, which now that you've shared some more of your history, that makes sense why you would involved with that, maybe indirectly or directly.
I'm directly involved in this, man. Like this is the thing with my company. It is like a direct representation of my personality. So
tell the listeners about that, because I want to, and from your perspective too, because I'll say every other fucking word. So somebody that's a little more polished. But talk about Operation Underground Railroad. It's really
so Operation
badass.
Underground Railroad, man. They came out with this objective to save children from exploitation, and so I'm a father. I've got a 2-year-old daughter, two plus 6 months, so she's 2.5, and I was not aware of sexual exploitation of children. Like I was not aware of the extent of this epidemic. And I had the chance to work with these guys. They actually found us through social media. They're like, hey, we really like what you guys are doing on social media. Would you like to get involved with Operation Underground Railroad? And I met a couple of their guys, and I was like, this is absolutely an important cause. I can't see one reason why we wouldn't want to support this. Like, I don't know of too many people that really wouldn't support this, you know? It's an international epidemic. And what we have to realize as a society is that when we kind of, like, do this and we just close off reality, this stuff doesn't go away. You know, pulling the sheets over your head doesn't make the boogeyman go away. And When you face reality wholeheartedly and just say, I'm going to do something about this, I'm a fairly limited limited in my talent scope, right? So I can shoot off a timer and draw relatively fast and do some really cool shit with a firearm. And I can do some cool things marketing-wise. I roast some fucking rad coffee. But for the most part, what I can do is I can be a voice for people getting involved with this stuff. And, you know, Operation Underground Railroad is just one cause that people can contribute to, whether that's with their time or their money, that it just goes to greatness, like good. I don't care what political spectrum you fall in. Really, nothing bad can come from this. Yeah. You know, like, you know, there's really not a Democrat or Republican or a Libertarian that can really argue, like, hey, child, you know, supporting child exploitation or anti-child exploitation is wrong. You know, like,
so there's some conspiracy circles that would say the big guys are involved in that. But, you know,
I'll retire in, you know, and when I retire, or if I ever retire, which I doubt I will, like, you know, what I like to do right now is, like, I help these dudes out. Like, I train them. You know, I've helped train them. I've helped develop some of their SOPs. I'm going to continue to work with them, and I'll continue to get the word out, man. Like, it's a great cause with great people, and
it's really, and like you said, it was one of those things where, you know, it happens, right? And, mm-hmm. and surprisingly, it happens a lot in the U.S. too, which is a whole other thing. Yeah. Somebody was on one of those grand jury things. This was years ago. And it was one of those things, you know, where you get called in and you have to just serve on the grand jury for however many months, right? Right. And it was, and I'm up near Philly area, right?
Okay.
And there was so many cases of that in just that little Philly area where it's, you know, Philly's not even New York. It's you know, still a big city, but it's not. So anyway, it blew my mind at how much of that was going on semi-locally, let alone that when you expand to the whole U.S., and then you expand to the countries that nobody talks about, like where where you guys and Operation Underground Railroad are helping with. It's huge and it's so important. And I think it's one of those things that you don't really think about, like you said, until you have kids. You know, I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old today. He's 5 right. today, actually. It hits home a lot harder once you have the kids and you start. Like you said, part of you doesn't want to see it, but then when you start kind of seeing it in your peripheral, you still don't want to see it, but you have to see it. And I think it's, like you said, it's important for people to, at the very least, Google it and see what it's about, right? See what Operation Underground Railroad's about. And just see, and if you can't support them in any other way other than retweeting a tweet from them or whatever it is, put it on Facebook. Go on your guys' Facebook. There's also some other funny videos on there too. But
I roast their coffee. You know, they're selling coffee. They sell milk that matters. Like, they do that. I whatever I can do. Like, you know, I push things out on social media. I roast their coffee. I do a ton of different things for those guys specifically. And I only pick up causes where I'm like, hey, that's something I believe in. Like, me personally, there's no political agenda to it. It's just like, this is what I believe in. So Thin Blue Line is another one of our coffees. All the profits, 100% of the profits. I don't make a dime on it. Goes back to the families of wounded police officers through the Fraternal Order of Police. So I don't use that as a marketing mechanism. You know, like, I don't try not to do that as far as like pushing awareness. But, you know, last year I gave well over $10,000 just to families of wounded police officers. And I also raised money for the Raider Project, which is, it helps transitioning veterans move back into the civilian world, basically. And 100% of their 100% of my profits go back. Good fucking coffee or GFC goes straight into the Raider Project. Okay. And so last year alone, just alone, I raised over $40,000 for nonprofits.
That's amazing.
And I last year, so this is an interesting fact. I gave more money. Actually, I gave twice as much money than I took from Black Rifle as my salary. So, like, I made $18,000. I'm super open with this. I made like 18 grand last year for Black Rifle, right? But I gave $40,000 back to nonprofits. So when I say I'm fucking serious about it, man, like, I put my money where my mouth is. Like I'm not one of those dudes that's like, you know, sitting around talking shit about, like, you know, Wounded Warrior or whatever those fucking ass clowns are doing over there driving Porsches and fucking...
Yeah, we can talk off the air about that, because I would love to talk. I would love to get your two cents after we're done this podcast on Wounded Warrior, because that's a whole other...
That's a whole other thing, man. Like I'm not...
I've heard some stuff.
I'm a family man. I'm a businessman. I'm a veteran. I'm not a millionaire. Like, I love making funny videos. I like throwing around carbines, but I go to work every day, dude. Like, yeah. I put my fucking pants on and I go to work today or yesterday or the day before, whenever it is. But it might be for my family one day and it might be for a nonprofit the next. And I don't ever plan on, you know, having private yachts and shit. I don't really care about that. I care about, like, what inspires me and motivates me every day is, and I hate to say it, like, I love coffee. I roast the shit out of coffee and I fucking have the best coffee. Like, I think that I've created some of the best coffee in the United States, if not the planet. But what's fucking super cool is this company is the vehicle to being able to transform our environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I can give, you know, half my profit back and push it to things that we collectively, and when people sign up, you know, on the bottom line, meaning when they give us $20 for, you know, a bag of coffee and shipping, they know that what I'm going to do with that dollar is ultimately going to do something. It's going to do something for them. And the Black Rifle Coffee Club is a great example of that, which is when guys join the Black Rifle Coffee Club, this isn't a stump for my company, but literally what I came up with was, like, the idea, what I wanted to do is I wanted to get guys' addiction. So it's like you buy coffee, it's shipped to you every month, but you get discounts on all these other companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so your addiction basically pays for your other addiction. And that's where, for me, I just want to continue to keep doing what I do, man. Like, I love every time I write a check to the Fraternal Order of Police or the Raider Project or Operation Underground Railroad or any of these things that we're doing. It's such a fucking cool feeling, dude. Like, it's such a cool feeling. And I'm not serving anymore. You know, I'm not in the agency. I'm not in the military. So it's my way of, like, serving society, I guess.
Now, you couldn't tell us if you were anymore, right?
No. I don't know.
You keep talking about Colombian beans. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
I want to thank you for what you do for our country and our world, because you definitely do put it all out there. Now, with the internet, it's expected to happen, but you guys have an internet troll policy.
Sure.
And I wanted to play that if I could. Would you be all right with that?
Hell yeah. Yeah, let's play it.
Oh, that's good. Oh, hey, didn't see you there. Here at Black Rifle Coffee Company, a lot of people ask what our policy is on the internet trolls. We've adopted the F*** you approach. You see, at Black Rifle Coffee Company, we don't make our living making coffee. We make our living off of putting bad men in their graves. Therefore, we don't care if you buy it. It's merely a passion. So if you come into our house talking trash, expect to get a tenfold right back at you. Because at Black Rifle Coffee Company, we cater to men. Men don't even know how to use Facebook. They're too busy cleaning carburetors, or cutting down trees, slaying pigs. So buy our coffee, or dump. We don't care.
Yeah, that's a great stance to have on the troll policy.
Yeah, so the background behind that is, like, literally I didn't give a fuck when I first started roasting coffee. I was fucking working for the agency, man. like I didn't give a shit. So, you know, for me, like, Jared Taylor and I, we work super closely in a lot of that. And then people would chime in, and they're like, "Hey, your commercials or this or that or whatever." It's like, "Hey, we need to come out with a troll policy." And I would hammer dudes on social media, like, hammer them.
I saw your Facebook.
We've seen.
I thought was cool is that you didn't even have to say much. You just say basically "fuck off," and then you have all these military guys and guys you really don't want to fuck with coming to your defense that just bash the shit out of whoever says anything.
I've said horrible shit to people. Like, some dude, he'll start it. I was like in my basement doing laundry one morning, right after I first started Black Rifle, and the guy chimed in, he's like, "That's a fucking stupid commercial or something."
I saw that,
and I was like, "That's fucking super stupid that you'd even comment on that commercial. That's fucking stupid."
Yeah, if you don't like it, just don't comment. Just ignore it. Just move on.
And then he said something back, right? And then it's like escalation, right? It's like escalation. And pretty soon, I like sent him a diatribe where I'm like, "Hey, motherfucker, like, you know, roasted coffee's a whole lot better than fucking working that glory hole down at Love's."
I love that. And
Jared funny, Taylor about fucking died. When I showed him that whole stream, he was like, "You are one of the craziest fucking people I've ever been
around." And he had a Justin Bieber poster in his Facebook picture or whatever it was. Yeah. And he started like, "You're like, you fucking hipster piece of shit." Like, you just, it was the fun. I was actually going to bring that up on the air. I didn't know if we wanted to talk about that or not. But yeah, that was fucking hilarious.
I really don't. And that's the thing. I don't care, man. Like my company is for people like me. Like, and people, I'm never going to be that guy that's going to be like, "I am so sorry for offending you, like, whoever you are, that one person." I don't give a shit. Like, when I say that, I fucking mean it. Like, if you don't like it, like, dude, I throw around dirty carbines half the fucking week on ranges. I teach carbine courses. I fucking roast coffee. I make coffee. I cuss. I'm a horrible representation of somebody that is politically correct. I am not that guy. And I'm never going to apologize for who I am.
Now, that actually brings me to a topic that I know that you wanted to talk about. You guys got into a little bit of trouble with the anti-gay community a couple of months ago. Did you want to talk about the original video that got you in the trouble?
Yeah. So that's one of my favorite commercials, like waterboarding hipster. Dude, that was my idea. I fucking drew that up. I storyboarded it. I put it out. I came up with that idea over like 3 years ago. I was running. I was like, "God, that would be so funny." And I was looking at some dude riding a single speed bicycle with fucking jeans that looked like spandex and some stupid fucking beard. And I'm just like, this dude annoys the shit out of me. Like, I typically am not annoyed by just people being who they are. But what I don't like is I don't like conformity. Like, and so this fuck dude conformity. That is supposed to be like anti-conformity is wearing a fucking uniform, basically. But he's like, you know what I mean? Like, he's wearing a uniform. He's wearing a flannel. He's wearing fucking skinny jeans and logger boots on a single-piece speed bicycle, like, cruising down with his beard and a twirly mustache. And I'm like, you might as well be wearing a uniform.
Are you in California when you saw this?
No, I was in Salt Lake.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, you might as well be wearing a fucking uniform. So I was thinking, I was like, hipsters don't even like themselves. They can't.
No.
They have to be so, like absolutely, like, they have to just hate themselves to be that person. Where you're carrying around a typewriter and, you know, like, writing fucking letters and using fucking quill pens or whatever the fuck you're into. I don't know, but it's so stupid. I have no idea why people are into it. But they're into it. Okay, got it. I like bashing stupidity. That's what I like bashing. So for me, hipsters are like, even though you might be cruising around with your Polaroid camera and doing whatever the fuck you do on Instagram, I don't care. What you're doing is stupid to me, right? And so waterboarding hipsters is what got us in trouble. And I came in and I was like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to come in here and I'm going to be this guy. "Hey, guys, you guys want to cruise down to the park? Maybe suck each other's dicks? Maybe ride our bicycles? Fuck each other around the frizz?"
Hey, if it wasn't accurate, I would take offense to it because I am pro-gay. I am do whatever you want that makes you happy.
The funny thing is they are too, though. That's the.
I know. It was a mockery. Anyone with a sense of humor or with any fucking brain inside their head knows that you were mocking hipsters. You weren't being literal.
No. And it's the thing.
But then you had the gun guy going off on you or whatever on Twitter.
Robert Farrago. He
I was going to mention his name, but yeah.
Fucking Robert Farrago. He went off on you.
He went off on me. And the thing of it is I'm pro-gay too. I'm not pro-gay. What I am is I'm pro whatever the fuck you want to do. As long as it doesn't do anything in my life, like, affect me in any way, whatever, dude. You do whatever you do. You know, as long as it's not fucking exploitation of children or some other weird shit, go for it. I don't care about sexual orientation whatsoever. Literally, it doesn't even blip on my radar unless I can use it for fucking humor.
Hell yeah. Then
yeah. Okay. That's funny. So whether you're like, you know, so like waterboarding hipsters, I didn't know how to portray a hipster, to be honest with you. And so
no, you
like,
did pretty accurate. You were pretty accurate.
Like, these guys are like cruising around and I've listened to a few of them and it's like they do. They talk with this definitive a lisp in some ways where you're like, okay, so I have a couple of gay friends. They do not talk with a lisp. But these hipsters are talking with like this like, hey, so blase, like blah, blah, blah. And you're like, dude, come on, man. Like, just talk. Like
my gay best friend and his husband don't talk like that. Like, no. They're not anywhere. You would never even know, you know?
I mean, the thing of it is the gay dudes that I know are like, oh, my God, that's yeah. over the top gay.
Yep.
Like, the
yep.
dude's like super gay. And you're like, really? Like, yeah. It's like annoying. Cause he's yeah, like,
exactly. That's the same annoying. Thing I get in the people
it's
I know.
It's like. So me, when I look at this, it's like, dude, I was just having fun. And if you look at like Saturday Night Live, how many times have you seen a skit where there's a dude that acts like he's a homosexual?
Yeah.
However, the homosexual community is not going out and going, oh my God, you know? And it's like, okay, dude, I'm conforming or reconforming against a subculture that is, and you could say like, okay, the military subculture is like, we are anti-feminine in some regard. And honestly, you could say, sure, we're anti-feminine to some regard because we're all fucking men, dude. It's a male boys club. Mm-hmm. And so even if the feminazis and the people want to come after me for that statement, it's like, dude, I didn't work with a woman for 12 years
really?
In a profession. For 12 years.
Even on so, the agency side?
On both sides.
Not really. Like, I would think that would be more common on the agency side.
Anti-woman. This is my subculture.
Yeah.
Like, these are the dudes that I'm like rolling with on a daily basis. These are the fucking guys that I work with.
Yeah.
So when you're in a boys club, it's like, and it's not exclusatory. And I didn't create the rules to it either, where it's like, you're excluded because of the U.S. government from a combat role. I didn't create that rule. I'm not trying to be an asshole. I didn't do that. I don't care whether your sexual orientation or your sexual origin do not define how you're going to be in what profession.
As long as they got your back when you're in a firefight, that's all the fucking matters.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Hell yeah.
Like, do I think it's ludicrous? Yes.
Yeah.
Can I do anything about it?
Yeah, no, you can make light of the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'd rather spend my time helping children being exploited than my neighbor who prefers to suck dick. I don't care, dude.
Right.
Like that's his thing. That's not my thing.
Well, you're a Mormonville out there. You got, so I don't know how many but in Utah, right? Right. Okay. Yeah.
Like, yeah. But that's the thing is I don't sit around and go, oh my God, can you believe Dan?
Your response to it was
believe
even,
what he likes to put in his mouth.
Also, your response video was even better than the actual waterboarding hipster video.
If anybody knows Matt and me, they know we do not give a shit. And I was telling you guys earlier, like, Matt is the only dude that I've kissed.
So wait, you actually, now, if you look at your YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/...
Black Rifle Coffee.
There you go. You guys did a video called BRCC Doesn't Discriminate, and you guys made it look like you were about to kiss, and then the video went out.
Yeah. We did not kiss during that video, but I'll tell you, we did have a gay chicken session in Vegas 2 years ago when we were at SHOT Show. That neither one of us are quitters, but we definitely decided that we're not gay for sure. Like, which is fine because we did. We locked lips, and then we were both kind of like, it wasn't like, you know, tongue or anything, but we did. It was a gay chicken session that went wrong.
Wow.
Gay chicken that went wrong. And that went twice, because he had to come back for more.
Twice? So maybe you're not gay, but he is? Maybe?
No, I just think we prefer to play gay chicken on the edge.
I've never even heard of gay chicken, I'll be honest.
When you're playing chicken, you're going to get in a wreck. That's the way it's going to happen, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're playing gay chicken with me, what I give the analogy is, I'm Kevin Bacon in Footloose, bro. My... My shoestring is caught on the pedal. I'm not getting off this road.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, there are no parameters.
That's probably the best analogy that's been done on this show to date.
I would concur.
Oh, man. Yeah, you guys have a lot of great YouTube videos up there, regardless. But I think that it's cool. I mean, like, people need to see the YouTube videos and realize that, yeah, you guys are fucking around and having fun with stuff, too. But then you have the serious side, too, where it's like, you guys, yeah, and you make damn good coffee on top of it. So it's a cool balance of, like, you're supporting these awesome kick-ass charities, but you're still having fun while you're doing it.
You know? I just want, what I do, man, like, this is just my own, like, two cents in, like life or whatever. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just trying, you know? Like, I just get out there and I fucking plow into it. It's like you guys have a podcast. I mean, how many dudes talk about doing podcasts? How many dudes?
Oh, a ton of dudes do it.
Tens of thousands.
I talked about it for a long time before I jumped on here.
Yeah, tons of dudes talk about it. Even less people actually do it. But when you talk about the fact that we are doing a podcast live with high production, that is a rarity in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to claim as, you know, some savant or whatever. I mean, it took me years of doing it to get as good as I am. And if you are listening to the show and you think, God, this fucking sucks, then maybe I'm not as good as I thought I am. But
go listen to a couple of the other guys and try to copy what we're doing.
Yeah,
the thing is, like, it's action, right?
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. It's like stepping right into the middle of it. I'm not afraid of a fight. And that's what I like, is like...
No shit, with your background. What
and that's the thing is, man, it's like, you just step into it, like, that's all I do, man. It's like, hey, I like that. I want to do that. I'm going to go do that. I don't give a shit if I look like an ass clown doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it. And maybe that's like the arrogance of who I am or whatever it is, but ultimately, like, and this sounds a little bit morbid, I think about life sometimes where I should have been dead fucking years ago. So every day right now is like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so why leave anything on the table, man? Like, hug my daughter every time I think about it, come home when I don't like work, and do the shit that I really like to do.
Is your coffee warehouse, like, is it in your garage, or do you have a separate?
No, no, I have a warehouse now.
Okay, you do? Okay. Because I know I think you started, right, like, just doing it in your garage?
Yeah, I'm a garage, and then we expanded. I mean, this, like I said, we didn't, like, all of us, I started it, I worked everything. I did customer service, we roasted, bagged, ground, customer service. My first, like, 2 months in business was like 20 plus hours a day. And then it's like, it didn't really decrease, it just got more complex because I was just trying to figure it out. What I like is I like problems, and I like to solve them. I like to just kind of work through those problems. So, and I love the video aspect of things, and, like, people love the video content, and that's the one thing where I'm like, I can make people laugh halfway decently, you know.
Oh yeah.
And I love roasting coffee. I love making people laugh, and I really do. Like, I'm very passionate about firearms. I'm very passionate about the Second Amendment. I'm very passionate about all of those things. Where I will never apologize for what that we do.
Oh, yeah. You shouldn't, man. And I look at it as people either are going to like your coffee, right? So, and if they don't like the coffee, then they should at least support what the fuck you're doing because you have some good causes that you're supporting behind it. So either way, they got to support you guys. That's how I look at it.
We talked about it. We talked about even just transitioning Black Rifle over to just a straight up nonprofit whole thing. Where then I was like, well, but ultimately, I still need to pay my mortgage, so that's pretty rad. I still have a 2.5-year-old, so maybe, like, you know, if I, you know, it's all like I've got another job, like I've got a 2-second job, you know. Yeah. So, like, Black Rifle, and I have another company called Ready Man, and another company called Ready Man. I have another company in Idaho that we do, like, expeditions and shit like that. Like, I am fucking constantly on the move, man. I don't stop. You know, moving targets or static targets get hit. So for me, I just don't stop. And sounds I like love coffee.
It's in your DNA, right? That's what it sounds like. Between that and coffee. Your coffee's not weak, man.
No, yeah, no. Your coffee is strong. Like, the coffee is strong with you.
Like, I'll be honest, I'm used to drinking like a 20 ounce of that, 20 ounce Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Yeah. You drink 20 ounces of your coffee, you have heart palpitations, you know? Like, yeah. Especially if you go with like one of the lighter blends that's higher in caffeine. Yeah. You know, that's why I emailed you the other day and I was like, what the fuck's your caffeine content on here, man? Because I'm shaking.
here's a tip from the Prime podcast. If you're going to drink a light roast blend from Black Rifle Coffee, you might want to pop a levothyroxine with that.
Yeah.
Because that will prevent the heart palpitations.
Now, the one thing I want to try to figure out is how to make a cocktail, like Irish coffee type of thing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the Murdered Out might work for that, actually.
What is fucking awesome is Just Black or Caffeinated as Fuck or one of those. And Lead Slingers, like Lead Slingers and Black Rifle Coffee were literally like, they were made for each other. Literally, they were made for each other. And that drink is phenomenal.
That's awesome.
Matt and I would, like, I'm going down there here in a couple weeks, and we drink that. It's ridiculous how good that is.
Well, I'll be honest. Like, I know you guys are focused more on the men for your audience, but my wife likes the Sniper's Hide too. So,
yeah, it's just funny. Like, I just don't know I just don't know women.
Like, I don't either, man. I've been married. I'm married for a while now. And I don't know.
People are like, hey, don't you want to do more stuff for chicks or women? I'm like, man, I don't know that market. Like, I have a wife. I love her to death, but I married her because like she understands me. I'm not even going to pretend to know the women market.
I wouldn't recommend the coffee for pregnant women. The caffeine content is probably too high. But
well, that's the literal definition of crack baby.
That's what I should do is make a coffee coffee for pregnant chicks.
It's called decaf.
Oh, wait. Leah, look up their YouTube video on what they think about decaf, by the way. Actually, you know what was my favorite, and it didn't work for the audio version. That's why I didn't record it for the podcast. But it's a great visual. Is the we did the iced coffee? You smashed the guy's face in the bar, or into the block of ice to make that.
I think to this day, you know what my favorite is.
What's that?
Jeremy, where the fuck should we go? Dude, did you read that blog post that accused us of being gay bashers?
Yeah, I love your coffee, man. I love what you guys stand for, and I see through the bullshit that gets you guys in trouble, and I see that it's true humor. So I just have to say bravo on that front, and I'm a fan of Black Rifle Coffee. Before we run down the show, where can we get your product?
BlackRifleCoffee.com, man. BlackRifleCoffee.com. That's where we do. And really what I try to tell everybody is go to BlackRifleCoffee.com, go to the club, and register for the club because that's the best option, dude. Just get it drop shipped to you every month, free shipping, and then you get a ton of discounts. Like, we're releasing discounts for Article 15 clothing, Vortex. Oh,
those guys are fucking crazy. Yeah. Those guys are fucking insane. I love their shirts. But because I've never been able to serve because I have gout, so the Navy wouldn't let me in, it's not for me just because I can't wear those type of shirts because I wasn't serving my country. But no, their shirts are amazing.
They're rad, man. And those guys, like, they're like really good friends, and I can't even tell you how fortunate I am. Like Matt and JT and Rocco. Those guys are just super rad. You know, Range 15 is our movie. It's coming out. You guys got to you got to watch Range 15. And I've got like this epic scene in it. Like, I'm in the movie for like 5 minutes, but they're just rad people. Like, this is the thing. Like, it's just cool, totally epic people doing amazing things. And when I say amazing, just doing shit, like actually executing. So like, that's the thing that holds, I think, just holds people back where it's like, I can't try that. Well, it's like, you know what, man, you can try anything you want. Who gives a shit what people think? And for me, that's exactly what we do every day is like JT, Matt, anybody else. It's like, we do exactly what we want to do. We don't give a shit what people think. because ultimately there are so many millions of people in the United States and internationally that agree with us, where it's like, dude, we like that. We think it's awesome. Those are the only people we're trying to reach. Those are the only people like you guys. We can sit here and bang out a bunch of stuff on a podcast, and nobody's arguing. Nobody's going like, oh, that's total bullshit. You know, like, we're just having a good time, having a great conversation versus, you know, you think about where we're at as a society. There's so many different varying viewpoints and just so weird people to argue over such arbitrary garbage where you're like, dude, that doesn't matter. Why does that matter? Does that matter to anybody? No.
It only matters when you're behind a keyboard, you know?
I'm behind a keyboard.
I know, but really people are listening to us while they're behind their keyboard.
You got a point.
So don't be asshats while you're on social media is the whole bottom line, I think.
Yeah. Speaking of social media, where can we find you guys on Twitter and Facebook and all the other venues? Yeah.
Facebook / Black Rifle Coffee. Twitter is BLCK, so just minus the A. Instagram is Black Rifle Coffee, so it's at Black Rifle Coffee. YouTube is what? YouTube / Black Rifle Coffee. So pretty much everything's Black Rifle Coffee.
Except Twitter.
Except for Twitter, because they didn't have enough characters for me. I was like typing it in, going, man, where the hell and how the hell am I going to do this?
Yeah, I was able to find you on Facebook by typing in Evan Hafer.
Oh, really?
Which is actually the name of your Black Rifle Coffee account on Twitter. So, it's a little odd, but I was able to find you there.
That's more than likely because I don't know how to use Twitter. That's probably the best thing.
Yeah, we got a good balance here. Duff's the Facebook guy, I'm the Twitter guy, so we're good to go.
Oh, okay.
It depends on what you...
Well, I'm not a pussy, so I'm a little bit of both. I do Facebook and I do a lot of Twitter.
All right, compared to Evan, you're a pussy, but that's a whole nother. We both are.
Evan can kick our ass. I'm not going to say anything past that.
Yeah, I don't want to be renditioned anywhere. I'm not saying anything.
That would be awesome. I would be renditioned.
So, Carrie, you've been kind of quiet tonight. I'm sure you've been enjoying the conversation. All I have to ask you is, are you going to be enjoying your Black Rifle Coffee in the morning?
If I remember to make it, yeah.
Well, I'll have to grind it tonight because we did get the whole bean because TJ's awesome.
Sweet.
It lasts longer that way, right?
Yes, yes.
For right. sure, yeah. You know, when you grind it, you open up, basically you're opening the bean, so... If you got whole bean, that is the way to go. I tell everybody, like, store it in the bag, store it outside of the refrigerator at room temperature, whole bean, you're going to be golden. We're coming out with some other shit. Like,
yeah, not in the freezer.
No,
you told me that.
Hey, do you want to should I be storing it in the freezer? Yeah. Like, no, dude.
That's what you've been trained if you think about all the other coffees.
But contrary to popular belief, that kills the flavor.
Yeah.
That's what they want you to do. They're like, oh, this is shit.
It doesn't taste like shit. Yeah, exactly.
Whereas it's like, me, no, man. I want you to drink the whole bag.
Yeah, yeah.
You got no problems here.
I want to thank you for coming out, Evan. You've been a real awesome guest. Come back anytime. And I'm not just saying that because we're on the air. I'm literally meaning it. If you want to come back anytime to pimp whatever you want, you have an open invitation. Just let us know, and we'll gladly have you on the show.
I love it, man. Thanks a lot for having me on the show, guys. So anytime you want me back, just hit me up. Obviously, I'll be right on time. We'll be minutes early.
With the magic of editing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Hell yeah. Awesome. Thanks a lot for having me, fellas. Anytime you want me, I am here.
Thanks, my pleasure. Well, thank you so much again. And before we let you go, we have two things that we wanted to talk about. First and foremost is we wanted to talk about our Amazon affiliate program. You guys like the show. We know you like the show because you're listening to the show, and we see that you're listening to the show. So if you want to help give us a pathway to make more shows for you, it would be wise if you would go to rogantel.com/Amazon and do your shopping there. It's the same thing as going to Amazon, except it's better because a portion of whatever you purchase on Amazon goes to Rogue Intel, and it helps take care of the hosting. It helps take care of the analytics. It helps taking care of everything else. And eventually, it'll help pay broke-ass TJ over here because he needs some money for his kids.
That's right. College.
Yes.
Coming up.
So if you want to help contribute to TJ's kids' college fund, you'll go to rogueintel.com/Amazon and do all of your Amazon shopping right there.
My kids will thank you.
And one thing that I wanted to talk about other than our Amazon page is I wanted to remind everybody that we are going to be doing a Friday show, in air quotes. Again, we're going to be recording our Friday show tomorrow, which is Thursday instead of Friday, because TJ has a child with a birthday party on Friday.
Hey.
And by child birthday party, it's a five-year-old's birthday party, so that means the parents drink and the kids play with toys, and it's all good.
Lots right? of vodka, right?
Yeah, we already did drunk the chump once. We're not doing that again on this show.
Yeah, that's right. This one goes to you too, Evan. If you like playing pop culture games, then you'd probably like listening to our Friday episode of Prime. It's where we play a game called Stump the Chimp. It's awesome. We definitely encourage you to check it out. We'll be recording that tomorrow. So any of our live chat room viewers, if you guys want to tune in, we'll be doing that tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. And it'll be airing on Friday. So you'll have your Friday episode on Friday, if you so choose. But if you do the live thing, you can do it a day early. So stay tuned for that. We also have the Everything Falls Prime Prize Pack. We're talking both of Everything Falls CDs autographed. And we're talking about an Everything Falls keychain. We're talking about a personalized letter from the band, one-off video still from the Daylight Takes the Dawn music video, and the chance to interview Aaron Linkus, the singer and songwriter for Everything Falls, on our show. If you want to get in with that, all you have to do is comment or share our post and use the hashtag FallsOnPrime, all one word, and you'll be in the winning to get the prize pack. So if you're an Everything Falls fan, then it's pretty much it's a no-brainer. How about that?
So thanks, Evan, for being on the show. You guys are fucking awesome. I mean, the coffee's great. You guys also have some pretty cool apparel on your website too. Hats, t-shirts, coffee mugs. Now the coffee mugs are awesome. Even if you guys aren't huge coffee drinkers, they'll hold a beer great, probably.
They'll hold some tea, because I know you hipsters like tea. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like tea, too. So
I do, too.
Yeah. Green tea is fabulous. And I think that if you want to start hitting that crowd, you should start making some whole leaf.
We have a tea coming out, man. It's called Amputee.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, nobody's ever heard of that.
But no.
You did hear. It's called Amputee.
Well, when you guys are close to launch, you got to come back on and you got to pimp it out.
I will.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to get out of here for tonight. You've been listening to the Prime Podcast. If you want to check us out, you can go to theprimepod.com and catch our show notes and everything else we have to offer. And if you want to be really extra special, you'll go to bit.ly/theprimepod and give us a review on iTunes. That's all I got for tonight. Evan, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. TJ, you've been a real talkative son of a bitch, and we love you.
Sorry, Carrie.
Later, taters.
Have a good one, guys. Okay, we are clear. This is where we draw the line between show and post-show.
Your ear holes ready for some prime post roll.
DJ, want to add anything?
Yeah. I was kind of left me hanging. You rambled enough on that one, Duff.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm asking you to step in, or Carrie, or Evan, or whoever.
I was waiting for Carrie because she's the. She's
I'm
the
drinking my
falls.
Vodka.
Yeah, I ran out of beer. I see Evan did too, so that's why we're...
I did. I'm literally looking at it going, man.
I have had quite a few martini-ninis, and I don't think it's a good thing that I do a live read.
I agree.
I have the hiccups.
And why, you would think, considering you have a speech impediment when you're stone cold sober, you would think once you got drunk, you'd speak like Dr. Fraser Crane.